to be able to worship and remember the first Advent and to look forward to the second. It's great to be with you today. Love the music. Love all the Christmas outfits, minus one red tie. I'm not sure what happened there this morning. No worries, my brother. So very good to be with you. I bring a lot of greetings. It could take the rest of our time to extend all the greetings I was told to share, so I'll make it quick. Greetings from David Allen Glock. My father sends his hellos, so wanted to make sure that my dear dad sends his greetings to each of you. Also, my dear bride, who I said quietly goodbye to this morning about 5:15, says hello. Katie, our daughter Anna Catherine, who is 6, our son Jonathan David, who is 4, even our dog Bella, who just turned 2. All say hello. Some of you might not know this. I happen to marry, was blessed and found favor from God. I married Katie Kern, now Glock. Katie is the daughter of Linda Kern, married to Ray Kern. Many of you know and recognize that name. So greetings from Miss Linda, the best mother-in-law on the planet. Also, I send greetings to you from Emmaus Bible College. How many of you have heard of Emmaus Bible College? We would like to say thank you for your prayerful support and interest in regards to what is happening at Emmaus Bible College. We would invite you to come visit. It's not that far. We had a lovely drive this morning, so we would invite you to come visit anytime. We extend a special invitation to come in May. To our Iron Sharpens Iron conference. I recognize many of you from having attended these conferences in the past. We're excited about the theme for this year's conference, the glory of the gospel, the glory of the gospel. And so we would like to extend an invite to each of you. D.A. Carson will be one of our featured speakers, being our subject matter again, the glory of the gospel. Come join us in May. If you can't make the drive, 3 hours or less, we'd invite you to visit online, emmausbiblecollege.edu. You can learn all that is happening and taking place online. We'd also extend to you for free the opportunity to take courses with us online. We have many of our courses online and available to you at no cost. You do not receive college credit for those courses, but they are the same instruction that perhaps your sons or daughters, nieces, nephews, grandchildren indeed receive. We would thank you in advance for your continued interest, prayer, and support of Emmaus, and would love for you, if possible, to come visit. I'd like to encourage you to take a journey with me to a small little village about 7 miles outside of Jerusalem. We find a description of this place in Luke chapter 24. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 24. If you do come to visit us at Emmaus in the days to come and happen to walk into the David A. Glock Auditorium, you will notice behind the stage on the wall these words, the things concerning himself. The things concerning himself. Taken from Luke chapter 24. This will be our primary text for our time together this morning. Let's pray together, asking God to help us as we open freely his word. Father, we say thank you for this privilege and opportunity to gather together in your name. We thank you for the opportunity we had this AM to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest gift. We thank you for the simple yet significant reminder of the bread and the cup. You've asked us to do so until the Lord Jesus returns. He's requested that we gather in this fashion. So we thank you for the privilege to do so. Help us not to forget. Christmas and what it really is all about. Father, we ask that you'd help us as we open your word. We pray that the Holy Spirit would illuminate your truth, that it would make plain and simple sense, and that we would put into practice the things that we see from the pages of your most precious word. Help us now, we pray. Teach us and take away distractions, especially at this busy time of year, we ask. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. How many of you have ever been in a Christmas program of any kind? Whether you were a sheep, or whether you were a tree, or whether you had a prominent role as Mary or Joseph, or maybe you don't remember this, but maybe you were the baby. Who knows? Perhaps you were part of the stage crew. Perhaps you worked on the AV support team. Perhaps you were involved in the musical aspect of the program. But perhaps some of you have never had the privilege of being in a Christmas pageant play program. Fret not. Today's your day. I would encourage you to dream hypothetically with me today. And you have a choice. I'd encourage you to choose wisely. There are really just two roles for today's Christmas program. One would be the role of Cleopas, and one would be the person with him. We're not sure who that was. Some would suggest it was his wife, because of the way he said, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" Others would say it was just another male disciple of the Lord Jesus, because it says he, as you will see as well. Choose wisely. You're either in this Christmas program, Cleopas. How many have chosen that one already? Or the other individual. You have to choose. Everyone is a part of this program today. And I would encourage you to imagine that you were along the road to this little village called Emmaus, 7 miles or so from Jerusalem. Put yourself in this scene. Let us put ourselves in this scene and imagine what happened along the road. Read with me starting in Luke chapter 24, verse 13, and it says this, "And behold, two of them," that's you, by the way, "and behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them." Verse 16, an amazing verse. We don't really know why this happened, but we know that it happened because it says so clearly. "But their eyes were prevented." Your eyes were prevented from recognizing him. Are you imagining this morning that you are one of these two travelers and you are talking together about all the things that have just happened, specifically about the person of the Lord Jesus, that indeed he was crucified, that indeed he was buried. And some are even saying, and perhaps you're talking about this as well, that he has been resurrected and seen. As you're talking with each other about the things that have most recently taken place, a third traveler joins you and asks this all-important question in verse 17. "And he said to them, 'What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? What are you talking about as you are traveling on the road to Emmaus?'" The Lord Jesus, we know that, asked this question. "And they stood still, looking sad." Go ahead. Be still and look sad. Well done. Outstanding. One of them. Perhaps you selected Cleopas, so this is your opportunity. Don't speak aloud. It would be very crazy and chaotic. But one of them, named Cleopas, answered this third traveler and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which had happened here in these days?" One of the things that troubles me about Christmas time is how many people are unaware, do not really understand and know who Jesus is and what Christmas is all about. They might have decorations, and we love decorations. We have, I believe, 6 or 7 trees in our home. Perhaps they sing Christmas carols. I love Christmas carols. We did a great job singing those today, but they don't really understand the words. Perhaps they're even in plays and have a part, but don't get what it's all about. Can you imagine choirs singing Handel's Messiah and not realizing who it really is all about? Cleopas asked of the Lord, you, those who selected Cleopas this morning, asked the Lord, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" And I love how our Savior responds. What things? Tell me what I'm so unaware of. And they said to him, the things about Jesus. These were some of the things they were talking about, I'm sure. These were some of the pieces of the puzzle, if you will, that they understood, that they were trying to put together, haven't yet been able to figure it all out. The things about Jesus, the Nazarene, that's where he's from. Who was a prophet. Haven't you heard? He did mighty things, mighty in deed and in word, in the sight of God and all the people. This is what you said to the Lord Jesus, Cleopas. What things? That Jesus was from Nazareth. He did these mighty things, and he spoke these powerful words. Oh, and perhaps you didn't know this about Jesus. He was crucified, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. Don't you know? Are you the only one? Verse 21, remember, you're sad at this juncture in this play. You have some of the pieces to the puzzle, but you haven't put it all together. And you were hopeful. You were hopeful. You were thinking that perhaps this was the prophesied one. This was the promised one, the Messiah that the prophets spoke of. And we were hoping, you were hoping, that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. You had some idea. You understood what the prophets had declared. You knew that a promised Messiah was coming. And you, Cleopas and traveler, were hoping it was he. Your eyes still have been prevented from recognizing the person of Christ. And indeed, verse 21, indeed, besides this, it is the third day since these things happened. Verse 22, but also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. And they came saying that the Lord also, and came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels and said that he was alive. All the pieces of the puzzle are coming together for you, and yet you do not see. Do you know anyone just like Cleopas? Just like the traveler along with him who did not understand all the details, hadn't put the pieces of this prophetic puzzle together yet? Verse 24, some of those who were with us, some of those who were with you, went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see. Isn't it amazing all that they knew? Isn't it amazing all that they were told from the prophets and from those who had already been to the empty tomb and had said and declared that he has risen? And yet, they still are sad. You still are sad. And you were hopeful, even though all around are these evidences that it is he. Verse 25, we find the Lord's response to all the details that Cleopas declared in regards to the facts that they knew. And here's what he says. And he said to them, verse 25, O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. My dear dad encouraged me years ago to think through different lenses every Christmas, to appreciate anew and afresh what Christmas is all about. So one Christmas, I would look at Christmas through the lens of Joseph. The next Christmas, perhaps through the lens of Mary or the angels or the shepherds. One of my favorite lenses to use at Christmas time is to look at Christmas through the different reactions of those who saw and touched and held the Christ child. How did they respond? If time allows, perhaps we'll consider that lens this morning. This Christmas season, I've been looking at Christmas through the eyes and lens of prophecy. Isn't it amazing? Truly, isn't it amazing how much prophecy we have about the Lord Jesus Christ? How much prophecy we have about the incarnation. Here's your homework for today. I know it's Christmas break. Our students are gone. But still, there's homework. Life is a classroom. I dare you over lunch today to talk about your favorite Old Testament prophecy and how it relates to the incarnation of Christ. Which one just wows and awes you as you think about what was foretold by the prophets long ago that came true in the incarnation? Peter writes, doesn't he, about our great salvation, and he talks about the prophets. And what does he say about the prophets? What did he say in regards to the message that they, being led by the Holy Spirit, were recording? He says that they knew that this message was not for them. He says, Peter tells us, that the prophets, as they were being led by the Spirit, as the prophets recorded what they were being led to record, they were trying to figure it out. Isn't that encouraging? Think about the prophets. Think about Isaiah as he wrote chapter 7 and as he wrote chapter 9. Think about Micah. Think about the major and the minor prophets as they recorded the prophecy that they knew that they were recording for someone else's benefit, ours. Isn't that amazing? And it says of the prophets that they made careful searches and inquiries. They wanted to put all the pieces of this prophetic puzzle together. And so as they wrote and as they recorded, they were thinking and they were wondering, how's God going to pull it off? Who's it going to be? And when's it going to be? And how's it going to take place? And how's it going to come about? The very prophets who recorded the prophecy that we now have wanted desperately to know. They made careful searches and inquiries. You know what it says at the end of that section in Peter chapter 1? We're not turning there for the sake of time. You know what it says? It says that the angels long to look into this as well. The way that it's written describes angels, if you will, stooping over, leaning over the edge of heaven, watching this grand orchestration, how God is going to bring it all about. Isn't that amazing to think about? Even the angels want to know how this is going to come together. The prophets made careful searches and inquiries. The angels would stoop over the edge of heaven, watching all of this taking place. They too wanted to know how this plan would come together. I grew up in the 80s, graduated from high school in 87, if I recall correctly. I watched a television program that some of you watched, I know, entitled The A-Team. Do you remember it? The A-Team, don't be ashamed. We watched this program, and it's like every program, that there was a mystery, a crime to be solved. Mr. T was part of the A-Team. Perhaps you recall that. Perhaps not. You're better off if that's your story. But at the end of every episode, as this team tried to figure out how to solve the problem in crime, the leader of the pack would say and declare this line, "I love it when a plan," some of you were finishing it, I'm watching you, "I love it when a plan comes together." The prophets were trying to put the pieces of this prophetic puzzle together. They wanted to know how the plan would come together. The angels were stooping over the edge of heaven, if you will, watching and wanting to know how this plan of salvation, which is so great, would come together. The Lord Jesus, on the road to Emmaus, makes reference to this plan that the prophets spoke of. And he said to them, verse 25, "O foolish men, O foolish men," we know folks like this. We were like this at one point in time. I trust you're not any longer. "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." And so he makes reference to what the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ? Wasn't this supposed to happen? Wasn't this part of the prophetic plan that was coming together? Paul writes about it and says that when Christ appeared, he abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The Lord Jesus says, wasn't this all supposed to happen, O foolish men? Come on, Cleopas. Come on, traveler. Don't you see? Don't you get it? Haven't you been able to put together all that has taken place? Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Verse 27, our theme verse at Emmaus Bible College. We offer all kinds of bachelor programs from a fully accredited institution of higher education and learning. But without apology, we want you to be reminded and know that our chief and primary goal is to teach the things concerning himself. if you came, as I mentioned earlier, to our auditorium, you would see that slogan taken from this verse, verse 27, where it says, and wouldn't you have wanted to be one of the travelers, really, not hypothetically, this Christmas program morning? Wouldn't that have been a great survey of the Old Testament? How about when the Lord Jesus went through the writings of Moses and he explained and said, that was me. In Genesis 3, verse 15, where we get a glimpse of the gospel, a prototype of the evangelism, the good news, that there would be a seed that would come and destroy and crush. That was me, the Lord Jesus explained on the road to Emmaus. Or how about when he got to the prophet Isaiah? Maybe this is one of your favorite prophecies in the Old Testament. Maybe this is the one you'll mention over lunch in just a few moments. I love that Isaiah prophesied that he would be Emmanuel, God with us, and that he would be born of a virgin. One of our brothers read that this morning. That was prophesied long ago in Isaiah 7, wasn't it? And as the Lord Jesus talked about the things concerning himself, it's as if he said, and that was me. How about Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 9. Perhaps that comes to mind somehow this morning. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And you want to know about his name? Let me tell you about his name. And the Lord Jesus, as he explained to them, explained to you on the road to Emmaus the things concerning himself, he began with Moses and then went through the prophets and said along the way, that was me. And that was me. Where would you turn, by the way, if you wanted to look for a prophecy that gave us the exact time of the birth of Christ? Where would you go? Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, gives us great detail. And as you do the math, 69 times 7, and then you think about the decree of Artaxerxes, and you think about his declaration, and once he did that, to have the temple rebuilt, the clock was ticking, and it tells the exact time when the triumphal entry in Daniel chapter 9 would take place, ending up around 38, not around specifically, but we won't do the math at this moment, around 38 AD. Subtract his age, and you get 4 or 5 AD, depending on the months, and you know how that was messed up. Folks, can you celebrate with me this morning? Can we celebrate together that we have the word about the word? I'm going to say that again. If there's anything you're going to remember today, or that I'd like to encourage you to remember, it's this statement. We have the prophetic word about the word. We have the truth about two very important things, the Lord Jesus and Holy Scripture. We often say to one another that God has made himself known to us in two very special ways, Scripture and through his Son. We have the truth about both those things. We have the word about the word. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve, and then Tuesday we will celebrate the most wonderful time of the year, remembering really and truly what it's all about as we do all the other things that can help us do so appropriately. And may it be that we celebrate that we have the word about the word. Verse 26, 27, then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. We have a great New Testament survey class. We have a great survey of doctrine class at Emmaus. We have a great Old Testament survey class and theology classes, books of the Bibles, books of the Bible, there's only one, as well. All would pale in comparison to this lesson, where the Lord Jesus walked through it all that they had at the time, and pointed out the things that had to do with himself. What happens next, Cleopas? What happens next, other traveler? And they approached the village where they were going, and he listened to how the Lord Jesus conducts himself, and he acted as though he were going farther. But they urged him, saying, "Stay, come on, stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is nearly over." So he went to stay with them. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread. He takes the position of host. He took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. And then something happens to you. Something happens to us as the Lord Jesus is conducting himself as the host, taking the bread and breaking it and giving it to us. Our eyes are opened. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished, disappeared from their sight. Can you imagine that scene? I hope you're trying. Can you imagine, just as you were about to take the bread from the hand of the Savior, you recognize and realize that it is he, and he disappears, vanishes. Verse 32, this is what you said to your traveling partner. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the lesson that the Lord Jesus brought to these two? They make the statement, "He has disappeared." They realize, recognize, and he vanishes. They could see, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" I pray that that's our reaction this morning of the 23rd. As we sing great Christmas carols, and as we are a little nicer to one another because of the time of year, and as we give, knowing it's better to give than receive, as we deck the halls and the houses, as we do all these things, may it be that we put the pieces anew and afresh together, and that our hearts burn within us. As we look at Christmas through a specific lens, to appreciate it anew and afresh, what will your reaction be this Christmas? How will you respond? What word would you use to describe your response, our response to what Christmas is all about? Would it be like the angels in Luke chapter 2, where they sang in glorious form and fashion? Would it be like the shepherds? Would it be like Mary, as she pondered and contemplated the things in her heart? Would it be like Simeon, as we considered this AM, as we broke the bread together? Would it be that you say, "I get it. My eyes have seen. I have seen salvation. I can die now because what was promised has occurred. Perhaps that'll be your reaction. Seeing salvation, appreciating salvation for what it truly is. How about amazement and wonder like Joseph and Mary in Luke chapter 2 as well? How about Anna, devoted, godly, widowed woman who put the pieces of the puzzle together as well, and she gave thanks and she worshiped and she went and told others about him. Perhaps that'll be our reaction, that we give thanks and we worship and we tell others about him. On the mountain and everywhere. We have the word, the prophetic word about the word. We have the truth. There's a few names I'm going to mention as we close, and I wonder if you can detect and gather what they have in common. Francis Schaeffer, C.S. Lewis, Josh McDowell, Lee Strobel of the Chicago Tribune. All of these individuals and many more wanted to prove that this is not true. And they set out to do so. And as they studied, and as they put the pieces of the prophetic puzzle together, and as they investigated the person of Christ, they believed, they believed, they believed. In an effort to disprove the Word of God, to prove it is wrong, they declared that there is evidence that demands a verdict. Schaeffer, Lewis, McDowell, Strobel. What about you? What about me? Can we together, it's not even 11:30, just in case you wondered, can we together celebrate that we have seen? Celebrate that we have put the pieces of the puzzle together because of his sovereign and grand orchestration, opening our eyes and hearts to the truth of salvation. Can we celebrate that we now know that we are not foolish and slow of heart to believe, but rather that we have believed. We know that we have the word about the word, and as a result, our hearts burn within us. As a result, we sing this Christmas season. As a result, we are amazed. As a result, we worship. As a result, we give thanks. As a result, our response is that we tell others because we have the word about the word. Let's give him thanks for that. Father, we thank you that you indeed have made yourself known to us in a very special way. You have unveiled, you have disclosed, you have manifested, you have made known yourself to us in a very special way through Scripture. And we thank you for it. We thank you for the Old Testament, and we thank you for the New Testament. We thank you for all of Scripture that is useful and profitable. And we thank you that in it, we find you. We thank you that you've made yourself known to us in a special way through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the fulfillment of the prophecies of old, that he indeed has come. The eternally existent one took on flesh and blood. We thank you that you have made yourself known to us through your Son in a very special way. And may it be that we put more of the pieces together this season so we would appreciate more our salvation that is so great, and that we would respond in the right way as well. May we worship, and may we sing, and may we be in awe and wonder, and may we be amazed, and may we give thanks. May it be that we tell others because we have the word about the word. And many in our great nation still do not, and desperately need to know him. So help us not to be ashamed. Help us to boldly declare what Christmas is all about. May it be seen and heard, heard by what we say, and seen by the way we live this truth. We thank you that it is true, that Jesus is the Christ. We thank you that some prophecy has been fulfilled about the first advent, and we look forward to more fulfillment to come in the second advent. Until then, may our hearts burn within us as we learn the things concerning himself. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.